Hi, it's Mijanu.
Mijanu Rob, hi, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Wonderful.
Yes.
How are you and where have you been?
Well, I've pretty much been here. I was in Virginia for the holiday, just Thanksgiving Day through the weekend, but I think I've been – oh, I went to Atlanta. That's what it was. I went to the management – the leadership conference in Atlanta. That's where I was.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was interesting.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello.
Don.
Okay. That's
Janet.
Yep, that's Janet.
I've been missing you.
Well, we've been missing you, too. We've been missing you. And how are you feeling? We heard some news about you.
What was that?
I think you're fighting a fight.
Yeah, I'm fighting a little fight, but yeah. I've been doing it a long time. You know, it's not the ALL, it's CLL, which is better because it's chronic lymphoma. It's
okay.
So it's small cell, which isn't good, but it's a lymph, you know, it's leukemia, but it's a very, let me put it this way. With the medicine they have today, which is ibrutinib,
mm-hmm.
You go in and you kill the immature white blood cells, which are the ones that cause you the problems. Because what happens is your bone marrow is malfunctions, and
mm-hmm.
it creates too many white blood cells, and they don't die.
Mm.
So they clog up the system. They go into your lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eventually they block out the red blood cells, which are the ones that needed to carry oxygen. So your symptoms become anemic, cramp up, hard to function. But with this medicine, it goes in every day and kills the white blood cells. So it's a little bit of a nice little cleaning service.
Wow.
And yeah, it's magic.
How do you feel with that? Do you feel better or is it making you low energy and so forth?
It has some side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So we're adjusting the dosage to minimize the side effects and
mm-hmm.
maximize the performance. So it's pretty, you know, we're at two pills a day, every day. And, like today I felt wonderful. So I'm good. I've had it since 2010.
Wow.
So yeah, you don't really, you know, so I had no treatment for almost 7 years. So so I've been doing this now for about a year, and
okay.
I guess 6 years no treatment now. So, but anyway, you become quite empathetic towards others, and it's really been very very interesting part of life for me.
Wow,
I don't regret
imagine.
It. Yeah, I don't wish it on anybody, but I don't regret that I got it, and you know, you're going to get something. This isn't that bad, so I'm fine. You know,
I guess, you know, if it's manageable, it doesn't, I'm sure initially you don't think that way, but it's better than the alternative.
You know, I'd rather, you know, anyway, it's, my, it, it my, we make jokes about it now. It's good.
Good. Levity. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
So I'm
glad to hear you're battling and your spirits are good, and now we're going to totally take advantage of your coaching ability.
Good.
We're grateful for that.
All right, so, yeah, what's on your mind?
What's on our mind? We're slowly but surely making our way through our list. I'm going to New York tomorrow, and I have two meetings. So there's two more introductions, which will bring us to 10, which is not where you want us to be, but it's moving along, I think. We're struggling a little bit with getting the folders right, and I was happy to have a call that Nicholas put together with some of the other people that are in the program right now at different phases.
Yes, good.
Yeah, it took the pressure off a little bit because I realize I'm not alone in my inability to keep up. And understanding too, something that we didn't totally understand, but I'm understanding it now, and it's also taking the pressure off, is that this is something where it's a monthly touch base and, you know, an annual in-person meeting and a quarterly review, which is not too far from where I was before, but it's more structured, which I love. So now we're understanding better how to read the calendars and how to, you know, at first I was going in with the first couple of people and saying, you're going to meet with me in an intense way quarterly. It's kind of how it was coming across. And I had some people kind of throwing up their hands and saying, first of all, I don't want that, you know. So with them, I just said, okay, you know, but we'll touch base monthly. And now I'm realizing, well, that's kind of what it is anyway. So as I said to Janet, for a couple of my clients, I just am planning to what I call sneak attack them every month because they've already told me they don't want the monthly meeting. Yeah. So they're on the calendar. I'll call them. I'll have an agenda of my own. But I'm not letting on that they're going to have to deal with me on a monthly basis.
Now, is it that bad? Is it that bad dealing with you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the clients just retired, and he's like, I don't want to have to answer to you every month. Like I want to live my life, you know. And then I had another client who I've been doing a very structured quarterly review every quarter for 10 years. And he said, and I told him all this, and he's in North Carolina. And he said, I do like the idea of you coming to see us once a year, but I don't need to talk to you every month. And I said, okay, you know, I'm still going to call him, but I was before anyway, so he just didn't realize it, I think. So it's been a little bit of a learning curve there, and then just getting the folders right has been a little bit of a challenge, but I think we're making headway there, just understanding, you know, because I'm sure that you find that what works for one person may not work for another. I don't mean client-wise. All the clients are pretty uniform, but just how I present things is a little bit different. And I'm anxious to get to the centers of influence side, but I haven't even gotten close to touching that yet. So that'll be a whole other adventure for me. Yes. And it turns out that I'm probably going to be needing to find myself a local accountant, so that'll be a fun process.
Okay. I'm
trying to see if I had notes, questions written down. I think Janet had. Did you have a question, Janet?
Yes, I had one question regarding the scheduler. Rob, I don't know if this is a better question for Cindy, but how often should I be transferring or coordinating the scheduler with Outlook, actually? So in other words, when we put the appointment in the scheduler, it moves to Outlook. And it's set in the scheduler as the first Monday of every month, for example. Does that then pull a recurring every first Monday with an Outlook, or do I have to go in and manually enter it for each first respective Monday?
It's supposed to, let me put it this way, it's supposed to do it for the whole month. Okay, but Cindy's the one that, you know, there's what management thinks is going on, and then there's what's really going on.
Right, right.
So Cindy
yeah,
knows
I can't doing. I can't imagine that it pulls by itself. It just doesn't make sense that they don't talk to each other. So I would just,
yeah.
What I would do, Janet, is ask Cindy how often they recommend that you update or whatever the case may be, because I don't totally understand it either.
Okay.
Sorry. I never hear the answers. I always pass on questions, but I never get the answers because I don't think I'm important.
No, no worries. I figured, you know, but that was one thing I was curious about.
No, it's a good question. And you'll, you know, just using it will create questions as well as experience and answers. So, all right. Any marketing activity going on?
We have one coming up for Miami Children's Museum.
Yeah.
Well, in February, we're going to start to plan that December 1st. We'll do a presentation, and that's kind of next up on the list.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of advertisements in magazines, and recently I was, you know, they say awarded, but really it's all marketing. What was the title?
Dynamic Woman.
Oh, yeah. Dynamic Women of Miami.
Yep.
So I was able to invite some clients to an event they held, and that was really good, and a bio done in the magazine, in the Miami magazine. And that was a great experience all around. I sent all of my clients who were out of town a copy of the magazine.
Of course.
So that they could put it out on their coffee table and brag about me, hopefully. And we just sent all of our Thanksgiving gifts with a handwritten note, Thanksgiving card. And most of the cards I just stated how long the clients have been clients. And one woman who's been a client for 16 years called me and she said, thank you so much. I love this. And, you know, we sent an umbrella and a, with my Mijanu Spertle Morgan Stanley on it and a water bottle. And she called and she said, I loved it. Thank you so much. But I was concerned by your note. It sounded like maybe you're retiring. Really? because I had said, you know, thank you so much for working with me for the last 16 years. Don't know. I thought I said in it, looking forward to many more or something along those lines, but maybe I didn't in hers.
Well, good. It made her worry. That's good.
Yes, exactly.
No, that's good. That's fine.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, and I recently had dinner with a client who invited me because he had a very good friend who's going through some transition in his family since his father passed away. They have a very large estate, and they're doing some selling of assets and so forth. And he, because of the Life View and cash flow that we've done with him, he was telling him, you need her to come to New York and do this with you before you make any decisions. So I've got to follow up on that. But we had a very heated conversation, which was great. You know, the sale is $15 million, but I'm not sure what his percentage would be. So, and it's going to be a few months before that happens. So I've got to get on meeting with him in New York. So, yes, so that's what we're up to.
Is this an existing client, or is this an introduction, or both?
Introduction.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yes, an introduction, and I think that it helped that I'd recently had a conversation with a client about minimums, fees, and the fact that I was shedding business to expand my business. And he asked me, well, what are you trying to accomplish? And I said, well, I'd rather have clients with larger amount of assets that I can do complete financial planning with. And so this gentleman actually fits the bill perfectly, because he's in need of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you are that person. I mean, you're the person. You should end up being a private banking, high net worth, family office group kind of financial advisor. I see you there already.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think you carry yourself that way, and you're. I mean, look how well you do. I mean, look at this recognition, Dynamic Women of Miami. I mean, you can pull it off.
Mm.
And, you know, I read the other, you know, I do my Googling homework, and you had had some wonderful awards and recognition, and, you know, you appear in other magazines and things. I mean, so you are a good, you know, you fit the bill. You fit perfectly.
Well, thank you.
So,
So now we just need to get on that Barron's list, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I've had another situation come along as well that I want to kind of talk to you about also, because I'm wondering how I'm going to fit this into this coaching. I am a, you know, the FAP program, the financial advisor. Oh, what's it called? For financial advisors to have a plan for transition should they pass, so that their estate would get an income, or if they retire, then they can get an income for a certain number of years. I had a friend, colleague, approach me a couple of months ago asking me if I would become his 1% partner in order to be on the FAP. We're similar age. But he's very concerned should something happen to him. His wife does not have an income and never has, and he would hate to have built the book. His book is about $1.7 million. He'd hate to have built his book and then have his wife not benefit from that should something happen to him. And so we had a couple of meetings, and I, you know, agreed to do it. He wanted to make sure that I would manage his book the way he would want it managed, first of all. He wanted to make sure I would take care of his clients and care about them. So, you know, we had a couple of meetings, and eventually I agreed to do it, and he was happy about it. And so I'm a 1% partner of his, but I put an account into his number once a quarter that covers the 1%, so we're even. So he approached me. I helped him with some financial planning for a client, and actually, I was surprised to see it was in 2015 that I did that. I felt like it was like a month ago. So he asked me to have breakfast with him because he had gone to the council meeting and met with a team trainer from Morgan Stanley who knew me. And so he proposed that he wanted me to do his financial plans for his clients, starting with his B book and work his, just to make sure he's comfortable with it, and work my way up to his A book, and do the financial planning and do the meetings with his clients. And then he, you know, right away, immediately, I will keep the 1%. And then as he sees how it works, then he would grow my percentage. And then anything that we would get from that process would go into a 50-50 split. My initial reaction is fear, because I've had two experiences trying to become part of a team that just never worked, and I don't want to lose control of what I'm doing. But I do have a great amount of respect for him and his business and how he runs his business and who he is. And the work that I have done with him has been, you know, collaborative and positive. So I agree. The one that I had done in 2015, he never actually presented to the client because he felt uncomfortable because he didn't understand it. I'm reviewing that and updating it, and then I'm going to meet with the client because they're local, and we're going to see how that goes. And then he has another client that just sold a business that he emailed me yesterday that he'd like for me to do the same with him in order to try to get the assets from the business sale and share. So and share.
Okay. So this, that would be 50-50 or something like that, right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
New assets would be 50-50.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm good with. I would almost. here's what I'm thinking. I would rather see you. Look, doing financial plans on existing B clients is not. You're not allowed to do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's no. Okay.
Okay.
Doing financial planning on prospects that have potential to bring in $15 million is a definite yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your judgment is in between, but only on a case by case basis. You do not work for him.
Right. That's the thing that makes me. I mean, my reaction was. I told him I was very surprised by the conversation, and that considering what I had experienced in teaming before, that I wasn't comfortable going into something that didn't have a long-term plan, and that
right.
This just seemed like something that was convenient for him.
Right. It would serve him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't even, look, you're going to do a lot of plans and get no money, okay? And that's not
right.
good.
Right, right.
You don't want
right.
to, that's called wasting your time. On a case-by-case basis, you'll do plans with him on prospects and clients, but it's got to be clients that when you split the business, it would meet your minimum.
Okay.
Okay, so the outcome of your planning must meet your minimum.
Okay. Okay. Great.
And, you know, that's really, it's an important thing for you to do. Meaning you must negotiate strong and effectively.
Mm.
So I want you to practice.
And that I am not good at.
Well,
so.
You know, I could tell. I could tell that. It's I watched, I watched a little of this Netflix stuff and the show called Longmire. And Vic is on that show. She's a deputy. And she had to, you know, she was going to quit and go back to Philadelphia, or at least she was worried about it. I mean, he was worried about her leaving. And so she went into this long spiel about, you know, how much she enjoyed working with him, and then she asked for a raise.
Uh-huh, yep, yep.
The point was, it was so hard for her to ask for a raise, she'd never asked for one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and... he was so happy that she wasn't leaving, he was going to give her anything she wanted, right? So Vic wasn't a good negotiator, even though she's an incredibly strong woman. And I see that in so many women, they just don't want to confront. They don't want to get into a negotiation. Where, you know, where typically, you know, in business, you know, men are used to that. And I'm making a gross generality. But, you know, we find it interesting and, you know, who can win.
And that's part of my thought process is, you know, I worked on trying to be a partner of Michael O'Neill's for 7 years and really ended up becoming the third assistant.
Right.
The reason that I finally walked in, first thing I did was I said, let's have lunch. And I said, this isn't working for me. And ultimately said that if you are not willing to change the situation, then I'm going to be leaving. And then gave it the time period I said I would give it. And then, you know, with the business plan and all that stuff happening in between, and then realized it wasn't going to change, and then walked in and said, this isn't working, I'm leaving. Now, that took me reading Lean In, the book Lean In, to be able to do it, because in that book it says exactly what you're saying. You know, we don't go in with a feeling of strength. And I knew what I was providing to that partnership, and I knew how little I was getting out of it. Nobody was willing to change the structure. And so, you know, that was it for me. And that's why when I was told, and it is true, I really do enjoy doing these, you know, but right. I need to be like.
Yeah. And you like being on a team. You are you're a good person. You're a caregiver. You're a good giver. You're everything that you want in a partner. Therefore, you're a very attractive partner. The problem is you will be used. And,
mm-hmm.
and so you gotta just pretend it's a game of tennis or golf or anything else and you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, but no.
Okay. No, good. Good talk. You know, this is why I have a coach.
Right. But I love using that term. I even use that. I love you, but no.
Yeah. I have actually used that as well in my household.
But no. Okay. And it's not going to work for me. Okay. It's just not going to work for me. All right. Here's my minimum. Okay. And yes, can I do it? Do I like it? I think you'd be a great partner. I think you're great. I admire you, and say all those nice things, and then just say, look, you know, my time is so valuable. You got to understand, right? I cannot waste a minute. I can't waste a minute on B clients. That'd be foolish for both of them. First of all, you wouldn't get anything out of it, and I wouldn't get anything out of it. That'd be ridiculous. An A client that's going to be coming into a lot of money is worth it for you and for me. Let's use our time effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Or a prospect that's coming into a lot of money. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Okay, so those are the two cases where, yes, you will do it.
Okay. Good.
Does that
meet my minimum?
Meet my minimum. It's efficient prospecting, that's all. It's more, he's a center of influence that's providing introductions. That's what the way you want to think about it. You're not a financial planner that works for the firm that's going to help him out. He doesn't even want that, okay? He doesn't want that.
True. None of them do.
You're helping him.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I've been approached about this by quite a few people.
Of course you are. Yeah.
But I guess because I'm already tied in, I thought, okay, let me think about this. Okay, all right, good. Good thoughts.
Good. And I think you can do that with other people. I don't think that's a bad thing. But after it's split, it's got to meet your minimum.
Okay.
We're not.
Oh, that's a great, I mean, that's a very, that's a very good rule of thumb. I mean, because I have done a couple where I end up with an account that I don't really want anyway.
Right. That's crazy. I mean.
Yes, you're right. That is crazy. So I don't know why I would I have a very nice lean book, so why would I want to mess it up?
Correct. Right. Okay, so that's one good prospecting thing. What else?
Well, it's time for, I have a client who is a coach in New York for executive women. And she is doing very well. She used to run the Procter & Gamble account for Publicis, the advertising agency in New York. And then when she had her child, she left. And then she started this on her own with another woman to do coaching, and she went and got, you know, all of her certifications and so forth. And so she just got hooked up because she worked on it and made it happen with, oh my goodness, I totally forgot the name of that women's group, and I just heard the woman speak. What is it called? I'll find it. Where she's doing coaching and public speaking for this group, and I will tell you it in a second. Anyway, she has offered, because she charges a lot for what she does, to do some women's round tables with me in New York. So I am going to work on there's an attorney who I have had as a client since, like, I don't know, 2003, and I've done a couple of things with his firm. It's a very large firm in New York. They've invited me to be on panels and so forth for them. And so I'm going to try to work with them to put together some women's round tables and have Melissa come in. So it's, you know, it's great because it's good for Melissa. It's good for me. She is a great cheerleader for me, and so is my client at the law firm. So to be able to do some round tables and serve and, you know, give them that, and then hopefully I can get some referrals from it. I think that's going to be good. Janet and I have to have the time to put these together, and that's been a little bit of an issue lately. But hopefully Janet won't be as shorthanded as she has been in the last month or so. So, trying to find the name of that group. Yes.
All right. There's a propensity of success among women who have built mastermind groups.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be something that is more easily done, or women seem to like it more than men. And I've known, you know, numbers and numbers of very successful women in the industry. And when I go to look for people that have done mastermind groups, the majority are women. There are some very successful men that have done it, clearly. I've got, you know, dozens. But women seem to do really well particularly in women's groups.
Mm-hmm.
So some women do not like to be just with other women, and others do. So it's up to you. But this sounds like the beginning of a possibility of a great mastermind group.
Mm. Okay.
Yep. So these both of these people are typically would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they like you, they trust you, they're enthusiastic about you, and they would help you, and you would help them. So that's your model. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now And you can do it monthly, you can do it quarterly, you can do it semi-annually. The ones that work the best are local, and they're monthly.
Yeah.
They're monthly.
Yeah, I've been going to New York probably every 6 weeks, so that.
That's a little, so it'd be every other month. Every other month would be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem to matter as much. It just can't, you know, the best ones are monthly and they deteriorate a little bit, you know, the fewer times you meet. But
sure.
Some have met for so many years that they, you know, they've met for 30 years, you know, twice a year. So it that still works, you know.
And how do I learn more about mastermind groups, how they're formed, how they're?
All right, so there's a webinar that I did on mastermind groups. There's a chapter on mastermind groups here. I've done a lot of work on the chapter in my book.
Okay.
My book is going to be coming out shortly, but I'm going to give you an early copy to read and edit and all that. Because I'm interested in your opinion, but it gives all the stories in it. So it's really comprehensive. I hate to bother you going out and searching for mastermind groups when I've done all the work. In fact, I just finished editing the two chapters on mastermind groups and then niche mastermind groups. And I think they're pretty good. I need more stories on everything. So if you have done something particularly well and you say, that's me, that's my area of expertise, then please include that in your, when you send me back, you know, what your comments on the book.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. But I hate to be coaching without the use of this book, because it's so good. I mean, I have a chapter in this book on mastermind groups, you know, in our workbook, but it's not even close to what I've done in the new book.
Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, I do remember reading a bit about it, but, you know, it wasn't
–
the
format
part is kind of – yeah, exactly.
This is really exactly – you know, this is exactly what questions do you ask when you're – you know, forming it, how do you conduct your meetings? How long do they last? You know, what's the agenda for each one of them? And then I have great people that I've interviewed that tell their stories and how they've worked exactly. But the interesting thing is that all the stories are really similar.
Hmm.
You know, they're not like this one's way over here and this one's way
right.
over here. They generally do the same things. They do a kind of a bring us up to date on how you're doing, what's your good idea for this session, and then what's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they focus on. So they go around the group, and then they focus on one person, and that person really shares a challenge that they're having that is, you know, they spend the whole time on that. And if it's big enough, they take it offline. And have a separate meeting for it. This one gal said that it's so interesting because what happens is it starts out as a business group and ends up being friends. And they solve family issues and health problems and become a support group for the person and all that. It's amazing. So you do want
wow.
to definitely do this. Yeah, I know. You want to do this with people that you like, trust, and have quite a bit in common with, you know.
Yeah.
Just think about it, 20, 30 years of doing this, what would your relationship with those people be as close as anybody in your life?
Yeah.
And this one girl said, I don't know that I would have made it through. She went through a bout with cancer. I don't know if I'd have made it through without this group.
Wow.
And they tell some just amazing stories of people coming to their rescue.
That's
you know,
amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and friends of theirs that need help, you know, and somebody drops everything and goes and helps them. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean,
yeah.
It exists, but it's good to hear that it exists starting in a professional setting, you know.
Right.
Because
how they help each other. I mean, imagine if you've got to drop everything and help the person for a health issue, how easy it would be to introduce them for business. That becomes simple, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So have people run more than one of these simultaneously?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so
yeah.
Potentially there could be one here in Miami and one in New York.
Easy. Bill Cates has three of them going. He has, you know, two of them are where they meet twice a year. One is quarterly, and then the other one local is monthly.
Okay. Yeah, that's another thing. You don't have to. I guess I would imagine, too, if you're doing simultaneous meeting, I mean, you know, groups, and you're doing one quarterly and one monthly, that would be a little easier to. If I was doing one quarterly in New York and one monthly here, just being in the habit of doing it.
That'd be great. Yeah. I think that'd be terrific.
Okay.
And let me give you another trick to it, too. You can always, especially on your monthly one, you can always give them a 90-day free look. Meaning, let's just do this for the next 3 months.
Okay.
And then we'll evaluate it, and everybody can decide whether or not it's something they want to continue. Rather than going into it like, we're going to do this for the next 30 years, and you're not quite sure of everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you give them – a gal in Chicago did that, a young gal. And she said – because I introduced a mastermind group. She loved it. And the next week, she said, I've already formed it, and we're going to meet tonight.
Wow. That's impressive.
And I was like, how the hell did you do that? She said, I just gave him a 90-day free look, just like your 90-day free look on the supernova. I said, that's brilliant. How'd you come up with that? She said, you already did it. You already told me. I said, I didn't tell you that.
Well, you did, because it's the same concept.
It's the same concept, yeah. But she applied it to that, and she also applied it to her centers of influence. She said, let's just for the next 90 days meet monthly and see how it goes.
Interesting. I like that.
So yeah, because you're not, you know, CPAs are busy and, you know, it's hard to commit to somebody else that you're going to meet with them every month forever, right? So this gives you a, and you always say, you know, and we'll evaluate it at the end and decide if it was worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're dealing with people that you've never dealt with before at all.
Right.
You don't know how.
So here's, for your monthly calls, this is a really good idea. One of the things that like we today started, right, it's important what I have to teach, right, you can read in the book, you can watch the video, you can ask questions about. But what's most important is what's on your mind, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I started out asking the question, what's on your mind? And then I asked, what else? The what else is also a brilliant idea. And at the end, I'm going to ask, what are the three big takeaways that you have from this call?
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about those three elements on your monthly calls.
Mm-hmm.
We have our agenda, right? But before we get into the agenda, what's on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then what else? And then at the end, you know, what was if you find that it's been a really good call, then you can say, what are the three big takeaways? And the reason you want to do that is you want it to sink into them that this call has been very valuable.
Yes.
Okay. And by them articulating it and what it is that they found of value, you're locking it in as something worthwhile, but you're also moving it from their short-term memory to their long-term memory. Not guaranteed, but by writing it down and repeating it, them writing it down and repeating it, they are moving it. Probably to their long-term memory. Now we have something that is locked in as value. So then when you ask the value question, what is it that you valued from your experience over the last 6 months or the last year, they're going to have things locked in already. And therefore, guess what? They are going to be much more enthusiastic about introducing you because they have going to have concrete reasons that they can articulate. Versus, she's really great, she's smart, she's nice, you're going to like her. Okay, that's great, except that's not substantive.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So.
Good.
I've just found it's helped my coaching a lot. I think I'm much more valuable to you when I'm answering questions that you need answers to. Rather than teaching you supernova, which is, I can teach it. But, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that when you're teaching supernova and we're not able to keep up with you.
Right. And
you
I'm leaving you behind. I'm teaching material that is nice to know, but you're not ready to use it yet.
Yeah. Exactly. So
okay.
I have my list of things that I haven't been able to use yet, but I'm not getting the fill-in parts as I go along, which I'm getting right now because of the conversation we've had. So that's good. Because I never would have probably brought up that whole financial planning for other advisors issue if you hadn't asked that question. And that's very, very valuable. And will help me with my time. So my three things are the mastermind group, the process for dealing with people who want to do have me do financial planning with them, and just, you know, explaining that the client would have to meet my minimum, and, you know, the shared assets would have to – my share of the assets would have to meet my minimum, and I'm not doing B-book clients. And then the other is the monthly call idea. What's on your mind? What else? What are the three biggest takeaways? That's pretty good.
That's a good call.
That is a good call. Yes, absolutely.
Now you're going to be very helpful to your friend who is a coach. Okay. So she can be very helpful to you, and you can be very helpful to her. So I want you to share some of these things with her.
Okay.
And then when she'll say, oh, yeah, we do that all the time, then ask, you know, then hopefully she shares something with you that can then be of help to me.
Okay.
Because I had a life coach forever, and I think it's incredibly valuable, and they have good ideas, and they're constantly learning because they're constantly helping.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
This becomes more practice management coaching rather than supernova coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is what we do in the advanced program, but I don't want to wait for that. You're smart. You can read the material. So I want to concentrate and do work on this. So your assignment is to get me more context of challenges, case studies, and things that you're doing that you need a little coaching on, meaning like this situation. Okay?
Okay.
That's the best use of my skills.
Okay.
So you need to be out there meeting with centers of influence, forming these mastermind groups, doing these things, getting this activity going so you have good questions and stories for me, okay?
Yeah.
Challenges, okay? The more of that, the more fun it is for you and the more fun it is for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Great. Yes. Yes. Well, I know right away. I have a meeting on Friday with two families in Boca that are here, and I know I'm going to have lots of conversation for us for our next call after that meeting.
Great.
Won't get into it right now, but we will talk about it next time. Oh, she put,
perfect.
Somebody put us on hold. Did you put us on? Okay, that's the
right.
That's like
that
the at the Emmys. The music at the Emmys. Thank you so much. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm here. I'm sorry I didn't say goodbye.